Welcome to The Mental Breakdown. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson, and today's question comes from John, who wrote, I recently listened to the Mental Breakdown podcast and heard you talking about the importance of sleep. My child is 8 years old, and we are trying to figure out the best bedtime for him. Are there any rules for determining when to set a bedtime? Well, that's a great question, John, and one that we're often asked. So there are three things we need to know when we're setting bedtime routines. What time does your child need to get up? What must he do before bed? And what keeps him getting up once he's already laid down? So let's hit the first one. What time does your child need to get up? Seems like an easy start. So let's use an example. If you need to leave by 7 o'clock in the morning to get him to school, and it takes an hour to get ready in the morning, then he needs to be up by 6. Pretty simple. And so now it's just the math. Just take the time that he needs to get up and go back 8 hours. So in our example, if he is going to get up at 6 a.m., he needs to be asleep by 10 p.m. Now, for an 8-year-old, that's pretty late for most 8-year-olds. So let's keep that in mind, that to get 8 hours worth of sleep, many times kids don't really need to go to sleep as early as we tend to think. Now, the reason that this creates a problem is because of all the things that he needs to do before going to bed and the things that keep getting him up out of bed once he lays down. So now that we know what time he needs to be asleep by, let's move on to our other parts of the scenario. What must he do before bed? Now, this varies from home to home. Many kids, as part of their bedtime routine, they take a shower, they brush their teeth, they need to go to the potty. Some kids may read before going to bed, others will say prayers. They do different things as part of that typical bedtime routine as a way to wind down and kind of get themselves, their body, their mind, and everything in sync for bed. Now, the last question is, what keeps him getting up? And this also varies from home to home, many and from kid to kid. Some kids want more hugs. They want more affection before going to sleep. Others have more questions that they need to ask. Some need a drink of water. Some kids complain that it's too hot. Others complain that it's too dark. Others complain about noise, or there's things that sounds in the house that keep them from getting up. So we need to look at those things that keep our children from staying in bed and keep them getting up repeatedly once you lay them down. And all of this comes to good sleep hygiene. What is and constitutes good sleep hygiene? The first is that it needs to be dark. Many children like to have a light on, and this creates a situation where now they can see what's going on, and their body is responding to the light by wanting to stay awake. And that's a problem, because our bodies recognize that when the light is on, we're supposed to be awake. So for good sleep hygiene, we need the room to be as dark as possible. So while a night light is acceptable, we should avoid things like having big closet lights on or the door open with the hall light on, those kinds of things. Another important piece of good sleep hygiene is keeping a nice, cool room. We sleep much better. Our bodies naturally decrease in temperature a little bit when we're going to sleep. And so having the room cool helps our body adjust and settled so that we can fall asleep a little bit easier. The next piece of a good sleep hygiene is a quiet environment. And I'm saying quiet-ish because while it's ideal for the room to be as quiet as possible, the more quiet the room, the more likely it is that the child's going to hear other things in the house. So if you are watching a TV program in the living room, but your child's room is so quiet that he can hear the TV, that's going to be a problem. I once worked with a family where a child's room was very quiet, ideal. However, for whatever reason, in his room, every night he could hear his parents getting dishes out to get ice cream. And so every night, without fail, he would get up out of bed because he believed that his parents were getting ice cream and he wanted ice cream as well. So I say quiet-ish because for some children, it's really good to have sound machines or very soothing, quiet, instrumental type music playing to avoid issues with singing or any kind of increase in energy or excitement as it relates to fast music or anything like that. So a quiet-ish room is very important. Another really important factor of good sleep hygiene is the absence of electronics. And I'm talking about the absence of electronics at least 30 minutes to an hour before you lay them down to bed. Research is really showing the significant impact that blue light has on our ability to go to sleep. Blue light, just the color blue, of course, represents the sky. And again, our body understands that when it's light out, especially when there's blue light, that meaning the sky, we're supposed to be awake. So cutting out electronics at least at 30 minutes to an hour before bedtime is going to be really important to help, again, get that biology ready for sleep and calming down. Along with that is no games. Video games especially have a tendency to increase energy, increased excitement, increase heart rate, and all of those things that can run the risk and give it the potential of having difficulty sleeping. So decreasing games and decreasing those kinds of anything really stimulating is going to be really important at least an hour before bedtime. So with all this in mind, the keys to success in developing a good sleep routine, which includes, of course, what time to go to bed, is figuring out when the process needs to start. So again, with our example, if he needs to get up by 6 a.m., he needs to be asleep at least by 10 p.m. And so we need to start the process, the entire sleep routine process, at least an hour before lights out. Okay, so if we're going to say lights out at 9:30, giving him a little bit of a leeway to be asleep by 10, then we need to begin our process of sleep by 8:30. If you begin at 8:30, then you start all of those different processes, whether it's taking a shower, brushing teeth, nighttime snack, which of course should not be sugary or have anything stimulating in it. Go through that process, read with your child, answer all of his questions, choosing a time so that you can lay down with him for about 10 minutes before lights out and talk about whatever it is that he needs to talk about. Any questions, anything that may run the risk of getting him up out of bed, you can address all of those things before lights out. So you start the process an hour before lights out, stick to it, lights out at 9:30. You've already hopefully addressed everything before lights out, whether it's those typical things that gets him up out of bed, like asking questions, needing a drink of water, needing to go to the bathroom, all of those things. At 9:30, you turn the lights out, say, "Let's close your eyes, try to go to sleep. I'll come back and check on you in just a little bit." And then the third step, of course, is to go back and check. Many times the child will already be asleep, but if not, at least he knows that you're coming back to check on him and he doesn't have to get up in order for you to check on him. So when you look at the history, if he tends to get up about 10 minutes after you lay him down, you should go check on him about 8 minutes after you laid him down. That way you get him before he gets out of bed. He knows you're coming back to check on him, so there's no reason for him to get out of bed. Okay? That's it. Thanks for listening. I hope that helps helps as you're trying to develop a bedtime routine. So see you next time. Don't forget to be afraid.